to our series. I want to give you an update. I just heard this on Thursday. So part of what, another one of our, we have three goals for 2016. That we have a healthy, dynamic community. We have life-giving relationships. And we want to be a community that is missional, where we do things on purpose, where we are engaging our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and just sharing life with them in positive ways. And one of the ways that we want to do that was be a blessing to the whole community, including the churches in Cloquet. And one thing that I got, and maybe you heard this as well, is we are planting. People would say, oh, Chris, there's already enough churches in Cloquet. And there is. There's a lot of churches. And then I'd say, well, isn't there like 19,000 people from the census in 2010 that aren't a part of like any kind of spiritual community? Looks like that's a lot of people. That's actually a lot of people. We could probably have like another, 15, 16 more churches. And then when we start talking, it's be like, oh, but Chris, people are just going to come from all a bunch of other churches and just come to your church. And it's going to be like almost like the vineyard's going to come in, like rob people of the churches of their people. And that's never our goal. That would never be, I could say never. I can't imagine other churches that being their strategy. And so I asked Good Hope. His name's Mike Stevens. Awesome guy. And we've been meeting and talking, and he even invited me to come to their church to come speak and share the vision of what the vineyard is. And so I asked him just this past Thursday, hey, Mike, did your attendance take a hit at all when we launched? And he goes, Chris, you know what? Actually, our attendance has peaked. It's actually gone up since we launched the church. And it was we had this conversation of when you say yes to God, anytime someone says yes to God, they get in and experience the best of God, experience that good and beautiful life. And as we are creating a community of hope here in Cloquet, it's also creating a community of hope, not just the vineyard. We never want to just be like this as a church, our church, we have the corner market on who God is, and our church is the best, and everyone else is like, boo, that's not at all who we are. We want to be, what do we talk about? We want to be a thermostat of the good and beautiful life with Jesus, not a thermometer. We want to turn up the spiritual experiences in Cloquet. And as we, not just us, but we as a community are saying yes to Jesus, it's making impact, not just in Cloquet Vineyard, but it's happening in other churches around here. So I want to say thank you for saying yes to God. Say thank you for, if this is your first time here, coming to church can be a big risk. It can be foreign for a lot of people. So I just say thank you. I say thank you. And we are now going to be talking about friendships. Friendships are a big deal. We're in a series where it's all about health. We ask the question, how healthy do you want to be? And really, a big part of health is having a community of people that you can share life with. That's one of our goals, that we want to have a healthy, life-giving relationships. And for some of you here, maybe the idea of friendship might be really easy for you. You might be I got a lot of friends, and we connect. I always have, it might be me. I'm an extrovert, so I like being around large, large, large groups of people. Or maybe you're here, and the idea of friends is difficult. You don't have a lot of friends. Maybe you feel a little bit lonely. Or maybe you're very content with just having one or two friends. You see, I believe that God has created us to have relationship, to have friendships. And that friendships are supposed to be something more than just a high-five barbecue friends. You know those kind of friends, right? Where you just high-five at barbecues, and that's the extent of your conversations. That you never get into these life-giving conversations. But friends are amazing. Friends are critical to how we grow. But there's obstacles, right, of having friends. As adults, we are not always the best at making friends. Because when I talk to people, I'm like, have you made any friends? Maybe you moved into town. Maybe you start a new job. Maybe you're going to college. Or maybe you're going through a transition where your circle of friends are just, starting to change a little bit. And when I talk to people, how is it going making friends? They're what do you mean? Making friends. You meet your neighbor, throw a party, invite people over for lunch. And there's almost this look on their face they don't want to be the kindergartner walking saying, do you want to be my friend? Right? Do you feel that way? It feels hard sometimes to start conversations, to try engaging people into a friendship. It's this foreign concept for a lot of people. And there's real obstacles, there's real challenges to making friends. You might walk in and feel everyone else has friends. You're walking in, you go flashback to junior high, and you're walking into the lunchroom on the first day of school, and there's that table, and they're all talking and touching each other's hair. That's what girls do with their friends. Oh my gosh, all right? And so you're like, well, they have their friends, and no one's inviting me to sit at their table. And there's that clique, and there's that group, and they all have friends, and I'm the only one who doesn't have friends. And so you just go sit by yourself. That's a real obstacle. When I was talking to Nikki about this, she said, you know, one thing that women, and it might include men as well, but she, for women, it's like women really want to find like their best friend. They want to have like the bestest of best friends, like just like laugh and cry all at the same time every time you get together, right? And she goes, women, they feel that. So sometimes you're so focused on finding that best friend that you don't even like really appreciate or notice the friendships that you do have. Because you're like, oh yeah, I'm happy for you, but I'm looking for the bestest friends. And there's pressure on that, and that can distract you from making friendships. For guys, it might be that you might just have high-five barbecue friends because you've never seen it modeled. The idea of having like an intimate conversation with another man might seem foreign to you. It might feel weird. But throughout the Bible, we see that there is deep friendships between men and also between women. That we are not called just to be Lone Ranger people. As followers of Jesus, we're not called just to be Lone Ranger Christians. Like, I just have to put my head down and keep trying harder. I can do it by myself. Like, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have my family and if I didn't have my friends. And just so you know, when we're talking about relationships today, it's not going to be like a whole talk just on marriage. Like, if you're married, I would encourage you to be friends with the person you're married to, right? That makes life a lot better. But really what we're going to be focusing on is healthy friendships. And if that's from like your bestest friends to maybe you're trying just to meet some new people and have some positive relationships. As we see in the life of Jesus, we're going to see a little bit that God is friendship. He's just not a fan of friendship. God in himself is healthy, dynamic relationship. So if you're here today and you're looking for a friend, you're in a good spot. You're in a good place. Because my vision has never been that I just want to be a community of people that just kind of play church. Because like right now, right? If you look around the room, you don't know everyone here. You might recognize them. You might like heard their name like four times and then you don't remember it, so you just call them Bud, right? There's like, maybe you've met some new people and you've found new friends. Like, that's okay. But my vision is that people can walk in and have life-giving friendships, regardless if it's their first time or you've been here for like every single service, that we can be a people that just doesn't play church, we can be the church. And the church is a reflection of who God is. And who God is that God is crazy about you. And when we can like actually have an atmosphere, a culture where regardless you know their name or not, that you're willing to invest and share life and champion them, encourage them, and notice them, that's when the church is the church. And that's when people walk in and they feel something good. They feel something positive because now it's just not let's like get in church, stand up, sit down, fight, where you can come in, get a cup of coffee, and that you matter. And you have value and you have worth. That's where we're headed, to be an authentic community of people who love God and really, really love one another. So we're going to be reading out of John 15. We're going to read out of John 15. I should know that since I'm the one talking. All right, John 15. We have Bibles in the back on the table. If you want to grab it, you can use your smartphone. And as you are flipping to that page, as you're looking up John chapter 15, I'm going to pray. And please join me as I pray. So, God, we welcome you. And we say yes to you. And Jesus, like what we're going to read in here a little bit is that you call us a friend. That you just don't tolerate us. You don't just use us. God, that you call us friends. And you let us in on every single thing you're doing. That you hold no secrets. And you make yourself radically available. And so we just ask for more. And I pray for my friends here who today, maybe like this year, maybe this month, maybe this season, or maybe just this morning, just feel lonely. And I ask, God, that you would come and you would deposit like your hope, your love, your beauty inside of them. And even just for like the briefest moment, God, that we can connect with you in a way that brings life. And will you use us as a community, God, to bring and create and champion life-giving, healthy relationships in Carleton County. We love you, God. Amen. All right, we are reading out of John 15, verses 12 to 17, and it says this, "My command is this," this is Jesus talking, "love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of my Father, he will give you. This is my command, love each other." I love that. Like, imagine a God calling you a friend. Like, we get, like, pumped up getting a picture, like, standing next to, like, a celebrity, and they're, like, slightly looking at us. We're like, right? We want autographs. Why? Because we want to have, like, some sort of, like, recognition or relationship or be able to show it to our friends of, like, I met, you know, so-and-so, right? Because it feels good. I remember when I was a kid, there was Amanda. Amanda's, like, distant cousin or somehow was related to Jack Morris when they were in the World Series. And, like, knew that, and someone wooed the twins. They're like, yeah, we won once. All right, so we were relevant at one point. So why am I making fun of the twins? That's just not even fair. That's not even fair. So, but when she said that, like, somehow she knew Jack Morris, I thought she was the coolest person in the world. Because being friends with someone who is important all of a sudden makes you feel a little bit better, right? Here God says, I have called you friends. No longer are you servants, but I call you friends. That there is a good and beautiful God that is crazy about you. And he calls you a friend. Not just someone who's distant, not just someone he just looks at and says, just do more work. But he says, friends. You see, this is who God is. God is friendship. Think about before the earth was made, right? There's the Trinity. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Eugene Peterson, this author and this pastor, talks about how there's this cosmic dance of the Trinity, of where the Father would empty of himself in love and pour into his Son. And his Son would empty of himself of love and pour it into the Spirit. And the Spirit at the same time would empty of himself of love and pour it into the Father. And it was this cosmic dance of blessing, of giving love over and over and over and over. And out of that beauty, out of that friendship is what it says in the Bible that we were created. That out of that furnace of love, out of that furnace of friendship is how the earth and the skies and the heavens and us, women and men, were created. And if you think about it, in Genesis 2, right? Genesis 2:18, it says this. God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper and a companion. So God creates the heavens and earth, and he creates man. And this is the first time, everything he creates, he says it's good. He goes, that's good, it's good, it's good. God's a big fan of all the things he made. He creates man, he says it's good. And here we see, before sin enters the world, it's the first time we see a problem in the Bible. It's the first time we see that God says something is not good. And what is it? It's that he's lonely. Adam has no companion. So what does God do? Right? Before he creates a woman, this is interesting. It talks about how then like Adam went around and they brought all these animals and how he was naming them, right? And why was he doing that? Because he was trying to find a partner. He's trying to find a friend. He's trying to find a companion. You imagine Adam walking up and there's like a badger? He's like, yeah, that's not going to work for us, right? I'm not going to be friends with badgers. Can't make friends with badgers, right? I think that's what we say. Then like the moose comes up and he's like, yeah, it's just not a big fan of the horns, right? And because that's what in the Bible, that's what it's talking about, how he's trying to find a friend, trying to find a partner. After all of that, God looks at him and still says, that's not good. And he creates a woman. And that's where they become friends, where they become a partner. But why was it not good? This is really important. Why was Adam lonely? Why was it not good? Was it because he wasn't like self-aware enough and he wasn't like emotionally mature to be able to just find contentment in and of himself? And I don't need to be codependent on anyone else. I don't need the moose. I don't need the badger. I can find happiness just by myself. Is that why? No. Like, Adam is made in the image of God, perfect, friends with God, walking with God, but still something was wrong. And why is that? Because he was made in the image of God. He was made to have a friend. We are made to have community. We are made to be friends with one another. Why? Because it's who God is. Friendship is the existence of God. It's a way we get to experience God. It's a way we get to reflect the kingdom of God, is sharing life with one another. So really, friendship then isn't just like this option. Sharing life with people then isn't just like something, I guess I got to do that. It's a way we get to like experience, like to be fully human. So it's part of who God is, but it's also how we get to experience a good and beautiful life, is when we do it, when we can do it together. If we're made in his image and it's who God is, then we get to reflect and worship him through relationship. Like there's this old movie called The Bride of Frankenstein. Anyone seen it? Right? It's the one with the lady with the big hair. Remember that? Anyone? Am I the only one who's seen this? All right. I am on an island alone. I need friends, apparently. So it has this story in the movie. The monster Frankenstein is like running away from Pitchfork Nation, and he's in the middle of the woods, and he finds this shack, and he walks up. Do you guys remember this part? He walks up and he pounds on the door, and all of a sudden this old man who's blind answers the door. And he says, "Well, who's there?" Another pound, you know, and then the monster, Frankenstein, you know how he talks? You know, he talks like junior high boys, ugh, right? Or junior high boys would be more like, ugh, but, all right? And he pounds the door, he goes, "Well, who's there?" And the monster goes, ugh. And he goes, "Oh, are you, friend, afflicted like myself? Are you afflicted like myself? Come in." See, the old man's blind. He can't see what's happening. And all of a sudden you see there's this relationship where he can identify with the monster. He doesn't know he's a monster. To him, he's just another person whose soul is hurting. He goes, "Come in." And they begin to make this friendship where they begin to like share bread. And he says, "Friend, this is food." Monster's like, "Ooh, friend, food," right? And then he teaches him how to smoke, right? That's what good friends do. Let me teach you how to smoke. And he gets the fight, he gets the match out, and Frankenstein, not a big fan of fire, and he's like, he starts freaking out, and he says, "No, friend, this is good. This is good. Smoke is good." And it's actually pretty funny. He smokes it, and he goes, and then he has a good time. So, but then they play music together, and you see in this movie, the monster all of a sudden becomes a little bit more human when someone notices him, plays his music, share a meal, share some drink, sit by the fire, and the monster becomes a little bit more human through someone just simply noticing them. See, when there is so much power in noticing people, so much power in simply just being able to see someone and be able to share a meal, share a conversation, share a joke, share some time, share life. It's not a way we just pass time. It's a way we get to experience some of the best of life. And it brings us from a place of where you might be in pain, you might be frustrated, you might be in addiction, you might be in a really hard situation. There's something powerful when you can be with people instead of just playing the game of friendship. "How you doing? Great. Oh, okay, see you later." But when you can take a moment and be honest and be real, it unlocks something in us where we get to experience, like I've said before, the good and beautiful life. We get to experience God himself. So when we have life-giving relationships, that's when we can actually begin to thrive, and that's when we get to experience health, when we have relationships. But making friends can be hard, right? Making friends can be a little bit hard. So we're going to actually look through John 15. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can make some friendships. But here's a key point. Friendships, how do I word it? Friends are discovered, not just made. Right? Friends are discovered, not just made. You ever like, you know, we say, we met each other and we fell in love. Right? We fell in love. I never met anyone who says, we fell into friendship. Right? Just doesn't usually work that way. Think of how you made your friends. I'm actually contradicting myself because I said you can't make friends, you have to discover them. Think about how your friendships started. It usually has something to do with you had something in common, a shared experience, a shared dream, a shared goal. If it was in college, it was like, "Hey, we're going to be in the dorm rooms and let's just survive," right? We had our shared experience and that's how we became friends. It might be a sports team. For me, I have friends when I went to a youth group here at the Journey Church. We had a shared experience. I met one of my best friends, Jeremy Weaver, we were at some like retreat. Nikki was there for some like spiritual camp or whatever. I don't remember what. All I remember is that we were playing football, and it's the first time I met Jeremy. And it was 4-4 touch football. We're like 19 years old. and it's on a dirt road, and we weren't doing so well. We were losing. And I remember, like, I'm very competitive. I want to win. And so I was about to get everyone together and say, hey, let's huddle up. And before I can say it, Jeremy's like, hey, let's huddle up. Get over here. 4-4 touch football, all right? He's coming, and he gets on his knees, and he's drawing, like, plays in the dirt for 4-4 touch football. And in that moment, I'm like, we're going to be great friends, right? And he's like, you're going to zig and zag, and a little more zig than the zig. And it was awesome. And we still lost. But we look good drawing plays, let me tell you. Right? That's how a lot of us make or find and discover friendships. Because here's the deal. In marriage, the relationship is all about us. We. Like, where my wife's not here, right? Nikki, right here, right? Like, we are going to, how are we doing? And our experience and our love and our friendship is only shared between us. I don't want to share that intimacy I have with my wife with anyone else. That's a sacred, that is a beautiful thing that is not meant to go outside of our relationship. But friendship's different, right? Because friendship can be experienced if it's one person, if it's three people, if it's 10 people, if it's a whole room of people. You can multiply that kind of friendship, that kind of intimacy is meant to grow, it's meant to explode. So no longer it's just like, how are we doing one-on-one? It's how are we doing as a community? And it's beautiful, and it can thrive. But here's why I dial this up. Because there's a lot of people who want friends. And just wanting friends doesn't always, sometimes isn't just enough. So well, I want a friend. Well, what do you love? What are you passionate about? What are you dreaming? What are you fearing? Like, where are you going? What do you want? And then go find those people who have those shared experiences. Find people who have like similar values. Find people who love drawing like plays in the dirt, all right? And out of that is when we can share life with one another. But here is where, as followers of Jesus, we can excel. This is where we can thrive, because this is what we're made for. You see, as followers of Jesus, our common experience then is a lot more than drawing plays in the dirt. It's a lot more than lacrosse. Our shared experience isn't just like we're really good karaoke singers. Our shared goal, our common experience, is becoming a Jesus-looking person. Do you know that before you are, as a follower of Jesus, before you're a mom, before you're a dad, before you are a business owner, before you're a sibling, before you're a grandparent, before you are a great golfer, before whatever it is that you do, that you are a follower of Jesus. That is who we are. That when we surrender our life to Jesus, talks in the Bible how we are this new creation, and God himself comes and puts in us a new life, puts a spirit in us, and that is who we are before anything else. And so then as followers of Jesus, then where we can excel, where we can thrive, what we can offer is that we have a shared experience of becoming more and more like the person of Jesus, and what he asks us to do is to love God and to love people. That no matter where I go, That shared vision, that shared values is all about that I'm willing to love God and I'm willing to love people. And when I'm willing to love people, regardless of where they're at, that is when friendship can explode. And when you get a group of people, when you get a community of people that are willing to love God and love people in that way, regardless of what you do or where you're going, who you are, I choose to call you friend. I choose to love you. That's when we can change the world. That's when, like, relationships can thrive. That's when, like, communities of people can, like, transform a school, can transform a neighborhood, can transform a whole feeling of a town. Why? Because people are willing to love. They're willing to love, not just tolerate, but willing to love. And my experience of having a group of people who are going after the same thing is where I've made some of my best friends. Of saying, wherever you're going, I'm gonna notice you, I'm gonna love you, but here's where I'm going. I wanna become a Jesus-looking dad. I wanna become a Jesus-looking husband. I wanna be a Jesus-looking church. I wanna be a Jesus-looking kind of leader. I wanna be a Jesus-looking kind of basketball player. I'll tell you that story later. But I wasn't so Jesus-looking. So, but not enough about me. So now I'm thinking about what I did as a basketball player. But when we have that common goal of loving people, that's who we are. We're of people who are willing to love differently, expecting nothing in return, but we're simply going to love, and we're going to give people our best. So relationships are discovered, not just made. But here's the other part. Oh man, C.S. Lewis, he talks about how you make a friend. The conversation starts with, "You two? I thought I was the only one." That's how a lot of friendships are made. Saying, "Oh, you also like science fiction novels? I thought I was the only one. You two like actually cheer for the Green Bay Packers and you live in Minnesota? I am not that person, but I'm theoretically you might be the only one." Yeah. And so like friendships are good, but here's the deal. Like they're discovered, but then it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to make healthy, life-giving friendships. It's a lot of work. In the same way as marriage takes a lot of work to keep that intimacy going, right? You have to invest in each other. The same thing is the same for friends. And you, like maybe you're here and you've had friends for decades and decades and decades. You may look at your friends and say, "I don't even know if I even really like my friends. Like my friends aren't life-giving. It's like it's work, it's drama. We tolerate each other. It's not really that much fun." You might want to reevaluate your friendships then. Because when friendships are life-giving, there's a couple components that have to go that next level in friendship. And the first one is this, is that it's going to cost you something. You have to be willing to give. Jesus says in John 15, he says, you know what, like one of the best ways you can love your friends is by laying down your life. By laying down your life. In any relationship, regardless if it's friendship, if it's coworkers, if it's a best friend, if it's a spouse, if it's your grandparents, if you become the sole like attention of the friendship, you put yourself at the center, it's going to deteriorate. Because selfishness never equals out what you think it's going to be. It's never as good as you think it's going to be. But what the gospel teaches, what Jesus shows us, is if you're willing to, no matter where you're at, who you're willing to give of yourself, if you're willing to give of yourself, you will experience that good and beautiful life. Jesus himself lays down his life. "I call you friends." What does that look like for you? How are you giving of your best to your friends? Are your employees getting your best? Are your kids? Like how is it going giving to your kids? Like, how about your neighbors? Are you giving your best of your neighbors? Like, if you want to have healthy, dynamic relationships, where we need to start is that we have to be willing to give. And this is hard. The next one's even harder. Well, you'll get there. This is hard because what do we want to do? We want to self-protect. We think one other obstacle for friendships is, hey, if I get more friends, they're going to take more of me. They're going to consume me, and that means I have more conversations. That means more laughing and crying at the same time. That means more birthdays. That means more gifts. That means more drama, and it's just going to take more of me. Well, that's not a life-giving friendship then. That's not what God's inviting us into, just to be spent. But if we're willing to give the best of ourselves, we see then we get to experience the best of the kingdom by laying down our lives. How are you giving, investing in your friendships? Second one is this. You have to let people in. You have to let people in. If you want to have healthy relationships, you have to be willing to give. Jesus, lay down your life. And then Jesus let people in all the way. He let people in his life. It talks about how he goes, "I now call you friends because I have shared every single thing my Father has told me. Every single thing my Father has done, I have shared with you." Jesus is saying, there's no secrets. There's no secrets about who God is or what he loves or where he's going. He's let you in on every single thing. If you want to have incredible life-giving friendships, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to give of yourself, and you have to let people in. And this is where it's hard, because this is where you're going to get hurt. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if you want to have a healthy, life-giving friendship, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. 100% guarantee. But here's the thing. If we're not willing to have a big heart, if we're not willing to let people in, then we're not going to experience that kind of love in a friendship. You're not going to experience that kind of intimacy in a friendship. Men, if we're not willing to be vulnerable with other men, if we're not willing to talk about like how we're doing in life, how we're doing as a parent, how we're doing as a man, how we're doing in our sexuality, how we're doing in our addictions, how we're doing in our thoughts, how we're doing with our words, then we just simply play the game of I'm a friend who's a guy, and we golf. That's it. It's very, very hard. You know, one of the ways that you can be vulnerable, here's a great place to start for men and women, is admit that you have a need. Admit that you're not okay. Admit that you might be a hot mess. Because when you start there, if you start just being like friends with reality with yourself, then you're inviting people into that spot with you. We have a group of friends that we're all married about the same time. We have kids about the same age. You know, like friends are discovered, right? We discovered that we had a lot of kids spending time with each other. We said, well, we might as well just hang out more. Our kids like each other. Why not us? But we're in the same stage of life. And alert the media, marriage is hard, right? It's not easy. Yeah, thank you for laughing at that. So it's really, really hard. And Nikki and I were hitting some spots of where we just needed some help. We needed some help. And we were like, well, do we talk to our friends about that? Do we talk to Ben and Jenny? And it's like, well, I don't know. Can we talk about our marriages? We found out when we sat down with our friends and we just said, we are not okay. We're angry, we're hurt, we're confused. We just feel like we're like on islands apart from one another. As soon as we just let people in on that conversation with us about our marriage, it was so life-giving. It was so good. And out of that, we made like this agreement as there's several couples where we said, within 24 hours of a call or a text, one of us will be on your couch crying with you, championing you, and praying with you. And we have accessed that many of times, many of times. And here's the deal. It's way more fun. I won't lie. It's way more fun to be the person getting the phone call. It's way more fun getting the person getting the text of, we need help. Because then you can step in and say, oh, I'm a really good friend to you. Look how great I am, all right? And I'm going to help you. It is a lot harder to be the one to hit send on that text. Like 3 months ago, Nikki and I were just at a hard spot. You ever been here before where no matter what you say, the other person takes it like you just like insulted their grandma? And you're like, hey, that spaghetti was pretty good. What are you talking about? The spaghetti was good, right? And it was both ways. She could be like, hey, Chris, how's your day? Like, you don't even know my days anymore. Right? Just nothing is rational. Nothing makes sense. And this was happening for like 3-4 days, just nonstop. And Nikki stopped and she goes, hey, we need to make that call. And everything inside of me was like, oh, self-protect. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I love you. Your spaghetti's great, all right? It's like I'm willing just to do anything and everything. Why? Because I didn't want to have to be the person to say, I'm in need. I'm hurt. I need help. I didn't want to have to sit down on the couch and have someone say, Chris, what are you feeling? I wanted to bury it and stuff it. Right? Like a good American husband should do. You know what? And I was nervous. I don't know why I was nervous. And we actually had to do it over Skype. And right when our friends came on, as soon as like I saw their faces and they said, hey, guys, thanks for calling. We love you. All of that dropped. Just instantly went away. When we're willing to be vulnerable as friends, let people in. You get to experience the best of God and the best of community. It's how we can become healthy. You don't always have to be the savior. You don't always have to be the one to save the day. You know, there's some people here where you are that friend where you're like, no, I don't need anything. I just want to give to you. I'm going to give. And that's good. That's my first point. Give of yourself. You have to be willing to receive as well. You have to be honest. How are you doing in being vulnerable? Like, when's the last time that you called up a friend and just said, I need someone to pray with me? Do you have friends that can pray for you? Do you have friends that can put the finger, do you have a friend, like the finger in the chest friend that says, hey, you can be a better husband than you are right now? I have a couple of those friends. If you don't have those friends, let me encourage you something. We have something here called small groups. We talk about this all the time. And we don't do small groups because it's what churches do. We do small groups because it sets you up for a place where you can find friends. You can find people who love you. Why? Because you have a shared common goal of we're going to love God and we're going to love people. Regardless of who it is, you're walking that small group, I guarantee you, you're going to be loved. There's a place where you can practice to be vulnerable. It's a place where you can practice what it looks like to hear God's voice. It's a place where you can take the risk of having a life-giving conversation. It's a place where you can get prayer. It's a place where you can just show up and eat other people's food. If that's all you want, you can do it. There's a spot for you. We want to do this to make it as easy as possible for you to find a friend. You know what? In my small group, Before we planted this church, we had a small group going here in Cloquet. And Nikki and I were like, I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to be in our small group. And we got like an array of different people from all different kinds of stages of life, from different parts of town. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, Nikki and I were driving home. It was like 9 o'clock at night. And I looked at her and I said, I think we just made some new friends. And again, maybe I should just know that, be like, oh, we're going to make friends. But it was like, here, we're going to have a small group. We're going to lead it. It's going to be really positive. But I was actually a little surprised that these people were just more like, hey, we're in a small group together. We're on a team together. It's like, they were my friends. And if you would have shown me a picture of our small group a year ago and said, hey, here's going to be your friends, I probably would have said, those don't look like my friends, right? Those are people that are like the same age who probably love the same things I love. But it was in small group when we were willing to be vulnerable, when other people were willing to be vulnerable, when they like allowed like me to pray for them and they would pray for me. All of a sudden, we created this like really great bond and friendship, and we're still friends. So my encouragement to you is, like, if you are looking for a friend, life-giving friendship, small group's a great place to start. It's a great place to start. All right, so we have to be willing to give. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. And lastly, we have to be on their team. We have to be on their team. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always. Jesus talks about in several different parts in the New Testament of how he will give us everything we need and he's never going to leave. A good friend is someone who's on your team. I had a guy tell me right when I wasn't having kids, my wife was having a kid and I happened to be there. So he talked about being a dad. He said, Chris, 90% of it is just showing up. You just got to be available. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to have all the answers, but you know how to move your feet and get there. A good friend is someone you can count on. Sometimes we undersell this. Like, have you had a friendship where you feel like they're the one who's always backing out? Had a friendship where you feel like every time that you're like having an event, you're having a party, or you're having like a real need and they're just not available? Maybe they're available physically, but even emotionally, they're just not available. It's a bunch of eye rolls, sarcastic jokes, mocking you. Like, if that's the level of your friendship, that's, you know, that could be a friendship. I'm not going to disqualify that. That's not a friendship that I necessarily want. We have to be willing to be available. And here's the thing, that as followers of Jesus at the Vineyard, I want to be known in the community of people that we can show up, that we're there. Where we're not like, hey, yeah, you have a problem, you have a need, yeah, just come on Sunday morning and just, you come to us. Come to us. Churches are so good at just, oh yeah, come to us, come to us, come to us. You know what I see in the life of Jesus? He was going to them. Where he went to the people who were down and out. He sat around tables for the outcasts of the society. He went and touched them to bring life, hope, and healing. Like, what would it look like if we could be radically available to like our friends, our neighbors, people across the street, people across the block, and we're willing to share life with them? Show up. Be available. Do you have time in your schedule to help create a community of hope that has life-giving relationships? So here's a challenge. Wrong word. Here's an invitation. That's positive. Yay, right? Challenge. Some people are like, no. Invitation? Maybe. All right? So here's my invitation. Like, as you look around this room, there's some people that you know, and there's some people you don't know. I would encourage you to take a risk and just invite someone to lunch. Shake their hand and say, hey, I don't remember your name. Like, what if we could just, like, actually be willing to be honest of where we're at as a community? Say, hey, why don't you come over for coffee? Why don't we, let's go get something to eat. You got to eat somewhere. And why don't you come with me to small group? Like, we can be on each other's team, like, creating time emotionally and actual time in our lives to invest in people. All right, I want to give you one tip. And I think they're on the slide. You can throw all of them on the slide. I'm only going to hit one just so for the sake of time. But here's the one. Is if you want to have life-giving friendships, be the activator. Be the activator. Like, have you ever had this conversation in your house or in your head? Of like, oh, I'm always the one who calls. I'm always the one. Why do I always have to be the one to plan the next time we're going to have a party? Why do I always have to be the one who hosts the party? Anyone? That's a conversation in your house or in your head. Yeah, yeah, same here. But here's how I invite you into this. So what? Are you thinking about that as you're like trying not to pee your pants because you're laughing so hard, right? Like you're sitting on the table. Are you thinking about, oh, why am I always the one who has to make the phone call? Is it worth it? When you activate those phone calls, you activate those friendships, you activate those parties, you activate those dinners, as you're sitting around the table experiencing a good and beautiful life, that's the last thing I'm thinking of. What if we could inconvenience ourselves? What if we can like let our pride take a little bit of hit so that we can continue to have life-giving friendships? I tell people who are going into college, actually I got this advice from my father. He said, Chris, when you get to college, join every club possible. If it's like sewing and knitting, join it. If it's flag football, do it. If it's basketball, do it. And why? Because when you are investing yourself, activating to meet other people and showing up, it's where you're going to make lifelong friends. Be the activator. If you know something you want, go and get it. We all want to wait for someone else to call us up and say, will you be my best friend? We're all waiting for someone else to throw the big party and say, oh, do we want you to come? We can be those people. Be the activator. All right, let's stand and let's pray. That's the squeakiness I was talking about, by the way. My dream, my hope, and I'd say it's God's dream, is that you, like the people in this room, the people who are listening to this podcast, that we could create a community, not just waiting for someone else to do it, but we can. To create a place where we can have life-giving, healthy, dynamic friendships. And if you're here and you're looking for a friend, as I pray, I'm going to encourage you to do one thing first. Jesus called us friends. Jesus called us friends. Do you have a friendship with God? Or do you have like a relationship where it just feels distant with God? Like one of the things we talked about with Vineyard Kids is that we want to be forever friends with Jesus. God is crazy about you. As I pray, if this is something that's newer to you, that God wants to be your friend, he wants to know you. He wants to laugh with you. He wants to equip you and empower you and champion you. He has good and beautiful dreams over your life. If that's something that you want to experience, as I pray, I would just receive it. Just connect with God. Like for me, something I do is I just say, yes, God, I want that. You might say it out loud, or you might say it just like in your mind, but like for me, from my heart, I'm just trying to say, God, I want to say yes to you again and again and again. And the other thing I do is I hold open my hand just as a physical way of saying, God, I want to receive anything you have for me. If that's you, you can just receive that. If you don't want to hold your hand open and you want to like just do this, you can, and hide it from people so no one knows that you want to be friends with God, that's okay. And the other thing I'm going to pray as I'm praying is maybe like you already are a friend of God. Maybe you've already said yes to Jesus, but you just like, you're lonely. Like this week, as I was praying for you, I just felt like there's a lot of people here, even though you might be in crowds of people, you might have the big smile on your face, you might be the activator, but something inside of you is just slowly dying. It's slowly dying, and you can feel it. It's almost like you're just slipping off into like non-existence. When I felt God say, this is for whoever that is, this is for you, that God sees you. God notices you, and you are not slipping away into some non-existence. That you are deeply, deeply loved. If that's you, as I pray, I encourage you to do the same thing. Just receive that. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, like God, God's tangible felt presence, we welcome you. And we say yes to you right now, God. Thank you that you called us friends, that you laid down your life. No greater love than one who lays down his life. And Jesus, we recognize and we say thank you. That A, you came to us. That you're on our team. That you loved us first. John 15 says, you did not pick me, but I chose you. That you ran to me. And you lived the perfect life. And you showed me what it looks like to love God. You showed me what it's like to love people. You showed me what it looks like to even receive love for myself. To have healthy relationships. Thank you, God. and that you gave of your life. You willingly gave it up on the cross. And even the people who even mocked you, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even then, you still chose love. You still gave friendship. Even when we called you a liar and a thief, you still called us loved. And that you came back up from the grave with it conquering death and giving us life and giving us friendship. So for those of here today, most of my friends, God, I've never said yes to you, I've never made friends with you, Jesus, we say yes to that. We believe that to be true. And will you show us what it looks like to receive love from you, receive friendship from you? Show us what it looks like to love you day after day after day. Will you come in and be friends with me? And lastly, I pray for my friends who are lonely. Yeah. Pray for my friends who are hurting, who are slipping into the gray darkness of winter, who are slipping into that bottling up of emotions. Pray for my friends who've tried reaching out to the other friends. God, will you come and rescue us? God, will you come and bring life? God, will you come and bring like restoration? Breathe new life. And I pray you'd help us to notice people. God, help us be able to see the people who might be hurting. See the people who are looking for a friend. See the people who are just down and out. And God, instead of waiting, God, we be activators and we engage people, notice them and love them. Use Cloquet Vineyard. Use us to bring hope and healing and life to every square inch of this county. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard and have a great rest of your weekend.